Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, karma, retribution or blessing, part one. And before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, founder of the Lucis Trust. Lucis Trust sponsors this show. Alice Bailey also wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy, and those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. The law of karma is the most stupendous law of the solar system, and one which is impossible for the average person to comprehend in any way. If that's true, how can we talk about karma?
So we just dive in, knowing very little. And I don't know where we should begin, but this word retribution probably strikes a nerve with a lot of people. We've been through a lot of discussion of retribution recently with all the talk about Reverend Wright and his infamous statement that American foreign policy had evoked the response of September 11th. He wasn't the only one that said that. I think Pat Robertson did also, and Jerry Falwell. And I remember a friend of mine from New Zealand who remembered September 11th said, well, we all thought, what did they expect? Meaning the Americans. It was very clear to her and her friends that, of course, that's why it happened. I don't know, there's something in me that resists that kind of thinking because it sounds a little too pat and it sounds unloving. And yet the doctrine of karma, the law of karma, is one of the great spiritual laws that guides the universe. And we all live according to its power, whether we acknowledge it or not.
Right, it is a cosmic law as well as a systemic law and a planetary law, and it's a law that affects primarily the physical manifestation of the physical world, physical substance, because it is a law that helps to bring about balance and a proper way of handling energies. So I mean, it is a law that comes into effect even at the planetary level. Even the divine God of this planet is subject to this law of karma, and all the way down to human beings and so forth. And so all of us are affected by this law in one way or the other.
You said it's a law that affects balance or restores balance?
It's a law that that is primarily aimed at restoring balance in a tangible physical substance.
Well, I've always liked the image of the pendulum when I think about karma. When you touch a pendulum, it swings until it finally returns to rest or to stasis, I guess the word would be. And I think the word karma is from the Sanskrit, meaning action. You start something, you put something into motion when karma arises. And of course, every thought we think, every word we speak, every action we make, initiates a new cycle of the pendulum swinging back and forth until it comes to rest again. That can make one want to stay in bed and pull the covers over one's head. But the more we understand the idea of karma as the restoration of equilibrium, I think the more we can see the wisdom in it, the rightness of its driving force to return to equilibrium, to harmony.
Yeah, it's a like cause and action, cause and effect.
Mm-hmm.
And for every cause, and the cause could be a statement that you make, in a conversation to another person. It could be an action by your hand, or it could be
a thought you think.
A thought you think, yes, because it affects not only in the deep physical world, but in the emotional nature, and the desire nature is affected by this law, and also the mental capacity, the mental nature, the mental body, and so it we're affected by it, even though we're not really conscious of it. And
a lot of people, I think, deny the idea of karma. They prefer to live with the idea that life is chaotic and unpredictable and unfair.
Well, for those, that's the way they see the world.
It gets them off the hook.
But they are subject to retribution like everybody else.
But it's not their fault.
Well, that has to do with a level of consciousness. And, at a very low level of consciousness, an undeveloped level of consciousness, there isn't as much karma involved where there isn't a sense of rightness and wrongness. And I think that's as one does develop consciousness and can be able to see the effects of the things that he says and the things that he does, his acts, in other words, then he can see the results. Then he is at a stage of consciousness where he can identify with the effect.
Yes, and I think that's why the writings of Alice Bailey put a lot of emphasis when talking about karma on intention and motivation. If one is subtly guided by motives that are masked by seeming goodwill, but that have the intention to do something that isn't expressive of goodwill, that's a much more serious offense than one who blunders along unknowingly and innocently. It's the knowledge that you intend to do something that you are concealing, and for reasons that are not entirely guided by goodwill, that's where you pay a heavy price, I think.
Right, and also it tends to be seen as punishment. And it isn't really punishment. It's nature's way of achieving a balance.
Mm-hmm.
And this could happen in one particular lifetime. It could happen instantly. It could be, you could have this retribution as swift, as they say, because your karma could catch up with you right away. Or it could last a lifetime, and it could accumulate and you have to bring it back in the next lifetime. You have to face it again.
That's why I think it's hard for people to trace the cause of the misfortunes they suffer, because often the causes come from very far in the past, and we can't always say, well, it's because thus and thus I did this and that. You can't always know.
No, and we bring these tendencies into the next life with us, and the soul purposefully brings them along with it into the next life in order to try to achieve a state of balance again.
Well, it's waiting for the right moment to redress a wrong. There's timing involved in karma. Nothing is done to us that we haven't, on the level of the soul, decided to face. And I think this is, again, this idea of punishment. Punishment means something done to you by powers that you can't control. And you know you're going to get it. You're going to pay the price because some powerful institution or entity has decided you should be punished. The only punishment in karma is self-engendered. The soul, our own soul, decides how to restore the equilibrium. We ourselves put off balance.
Right.
There's nobody to blame.
No, and it could be small things that accumulate. I just was reading something this morning about how little things can be like little threads of a string. By themselves, or little threads of a rope. By themselves, they are not very strong, but you accumulate a whole bundle of these little threads, and they become very, very strong, and a very strong piece of rope. And that's what happens with these little incidences, a bad saying to somebody, or an action that we against another person, and then we walk off and forget about it. Well, it's accumulating. It stays with you, and it's part of your experience, and they build up over lifetimes, and sooner or later they have to come back, because these little threads accumulate and they become very strong, like a piece of rope, and eventually you will feel the pinch of it.
And yet, Alice Bailey said there's far more good karma than bad. And I think that's another point we can easily forget. We think of karma as punitive, even if it's self-engendered. It's something that's going to hurt. But she said, Alice Bailey said, there's far more good karma than bad. We set in motion by our good deeds, our good thoughts, our good intentions, actions which then play out in the return of more goodness, but we have to live through it. All of this keeps the soul reincarnating, returning to life after life, both the good and the bad consequences of actions taken. And that's, I think, very interesting to think about, that the good you do has to play out its own consequences, and you have to live through it and learn from it. Doesn't sound too bad, but it does keep the soul returning to earth for experience.
Yes, and the good is every little act of service, for example, would be a good act of karma, of good karma, or helping other people to get their groceries, or work in service of some kind for other people. These are all good acts that also build up, and they accumulate in your favor, and it helps the soul to advance along the path.
Alice Bailey said something about karma that I think is really thoughtful. She said, as to karma, what man has made, he can unmake. This is often forgotten. She said, karma isn't a hard and fast rule. It's changeable according to man's attitude and desire. It is the presenting of the opportunity to change. And maybe after the break we can explore that idea a bit more.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight, our topic for today, karma, retribution or blessing, part one. And we have a special offer from Luce's Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, Ponder on This. Ponder on This is a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. It's available for $19, free shipping and handling if you mention that you heard about the offer on Inner Sight. So what you need to do if you'd like to acquire this book at this discounted price is send a check or a money order, $19, to Luce's Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And once again, the title of this Alice Bailey book is Ponder on This. And it's a wonderful book and a great way to start off reading the Alice Bailey material, because all of the Alice Bailey books are abridged within this one, and yet you get the essence of each book. And after reading it, you kind of develop a priority of which books you want to start with and go into greater depth on, because those larger books certainly are, there's a lot more material on each of the Alice Bailey themes that you find within Ponder on This. We need your help, and that help is that, we appreciate what you've done for us in the past. You've sent donations, and those donations to Lucis Trust, that's what really keeps us on the air, and I guess now, because of the difficult economic times that this country is going through, people aren't able to donate as much, so it looks like it's possible that this show might be in jeopardy as far as when our contract is up, which is in a couple of months. But if you all get together and you can make some donations, well, that might save the day for us, and we'll be able to continue broadcasting this show. Sarah and Dell, who are the talents of the show, they give the most in one respect, because they do the show for no pay whatsoever. So if we could all chip in and make donations, we've estimated that if 2,000 people give $100 apiece, and there are many, many thousands listening to the show and enjoying the show and benefiting from it, and hopefully their own spiritual values have been enhanced by listening to this show. But if 2,000 of you got together and contributed $100, well, that would make it possible for us to go on for another year. At any rate, if you can do that, we'd really appreciate it. It's send donations, a tax deductible to Lucis Trust. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S. Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. We have a website, www.lucistrust.org. On the homepage, you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. Once again, it's www.lucistrust.org. Now, getting back to what we were talking about, the title of this show is Karma, Retribution, or Blessing. I was thinking that if, according to Alice Bailey, and we've discussed all of these spiritual values in the past, if the highest ideal within each individual is to develop the divine principles of love, forgiveness, compassion, harmlessness, and empathy, and if we generate less out there to the universe, then it's not retribution if we get something less in return. It's more or less like a teaching-learning experience. If we're not generating the highest of the divine values, then
maybe
you can explain that further.
It's the purpose of karma is not to mete out punishment, but to teach.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great teaching device, because it's a law that can't be evaded. And gradually, as the human being becomes more and more conscious, he begins to observe the patterns of his life and begins to see that when I do this and this, and when I think in this way and respond like this, this is what happens. And gradually there's a pattern that starts to become visible. And in a more, infinitely more subtle way, that is how the soul teaches us to become more conscious of what we are creating. Because every thought, every word, every deed is a creative act. We create something. We set something in motion by what we think or say or do. And the consequences of it are what we call karma.
Right. I mean, this thinking, I think we've mentioned before, but thinking, every time we think a thought, we are building a thought form. we are building a form of thought in either in mental substance or in desire substance, so these tend to hang on to us in a part of our consciousness. They stick with us, and if we get angry and lash out at somebody, we're sending off a kind of a blast of negative energy toward them, which, by the way, could boomerang right back and bounce right back to you, and so that would be kind of an instant retribution right there for, you know, the a karmic effect. So this is something to bear in mind, even the thoughts that we think and the emotions that we have and the feelings that we have do create in this substance in which we live, in the mental body and the emotional bodies.
There is something that I read some years ago written by the great Initiate Blavatsky, the founder of Theosophy, in which she said about karma that we cannot evade or escape one iota of it. Karma is an inevitable, immutable law, and it will play itself out. I don't know if I believe that, because I think there's a place for mercy in the way the universe is governed. And as Alice Bailey said, I was mentioning before the break, karma is the opportunity to change. What man has made, she said, he can unmake. It's not a hard and fast rule, she said. It's changeable according to man's attitude and desire. It is the presenting of the opportunity to change. So I think it's more positive, more productive, to not sit around worrying about what latent karma is waiting in the background, just looking for the right moment to play itself out, which is frightening and negative, but to think, well, I don't know what lies in my past. I have probably committed all kinds of errors and sins, and I am very human and have fallen again and again. But from this point forward, I can resolve to be kinder, more harmless, more loving, more forgiving from this point forward. And if I understand Alice Bailey's statement, she is saying that that puts into action a new kind of karma that can overcome whatever might lie in our past.
Yes, I think we can kind of set the law aside or override it just by doing what you say, by building in those higher spiritual qualities of love and loving understanding. And the more you act in that way, the more you retain those same qualities within your whole realm of consciousness. And they become what you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's how you remake yourself, in a way.
Alice Bailey said, love brings all earthly karma to an end. Love is the cause of all creation. And that reminds me of that wonderful statement from the Dhammapada, one of the great Buddhist texts, that hatred ceases not by hatred, hatred ceases only by love. Love is a tremendously creative force that can redirect, reorient the whole trend of life.
And I think we see this every day. We see this, in the recent tsunamis and the recent hurricanes and typhoons and different places in the world. There is an immediate reaching out by human beings, by aid agencies that just want to help. Mm-hmm. And they do this very spontaneously, and the people that spend their whole lives doing this and making themselves available and aid and available and their talents available just for these kind of emergencies. And they are very great service. They do a big service to the world when they are allowed to do that work.
We don't know the cause of these disasters. If you remember when the tsunami happened, there was a lot of speculation about what man had done to bring that terrible tidal wave on. And just the other day, a friend of mine was saying about the recent cyclone in Burma that the Burmese people believe it was because the monks there were mistreated and murdered in the recent uprisings. That's why the cyclone has been visited on Burma. I don't know. But what is important is the response to the event, which has in fact happened, a natural disaster. And the rush to love and heal is infinitely more important, I think, than trying to figure out why these things happen, because we don't know.
Right, and those that the leadership of that country has some karma to work off themselves, I would say, because of their attitude and holding back their willingness to allow aid agencies to come in. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there is some karma building up there, too.
Mm-hmm. On another line, there's a sense, I think, in a lot of people that life is unjust and that people get away with murder, so to speak, sometimes literally, sometimes just in the metaphorical sense. If you really think about karma and the law of the restoration of equilibrium, nobody gets away with murder, including oneself, that everything has a day of reckoning. You can either look at this and say, well, there's going to be heck to pay, or you can say life is in fact just. And there's that wonderful statement by someone from centuries ago that the mills of God grind slowly, but they grind exceeding fine. I've always loved that, because the restoration of equilibrium that we look for may take a very long time, but it will come.
Yes, I mean, I think the restoration, it continues on in life after life until a certain state of balance has been reached.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to take that, perhaps, if somebody literally gets away with murder. But sooner or later, that karma will have to catch up with them, and they will end up another lifetime working it out with those same individuals that were involved in the murder in the first place.
I think that allows for a certain patience with the wrongs of the world. Forgiveness and patience and a knowledge that the law holds good, that not everything has to be settled right now as of this moment, that some things need time to work out, but they will. I don't know, maybe we can continue this next week.
Please take advantage of the special offer from Lucis Publishing Company. And that's the Alice Bailey book, Ponder on This, a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. Ponder on This is available for $19, free shipping and handling, if you mention Inner Sight, the title of our show. So send a check or a money order, $19, ask for Ponder on This, send it to Lucis Publishing, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.